Tonight's teaching is going to be entitled, There Was Not One Feeble One Among Them, Part 2. Okay? Because the last time I taught Part 1 was December the 26th. And it's been quite a while, so tonight is There Was Not One Feeble One Among Them, Part 2. And if you weren't here for December 26th, the day after Christmas, for that teaching, you can get it online. You can go online to get it. But I'm going to do a review and then go into additional information. So I want to start off by saying that tonight's message is talking about aging. And I got started with this because it's a topic and an issue that you see, and it's kind of prevalent because we do have, as they call the baby boomer society today, with a large percentage of our population being aging. And there's things that as Christians we need to be reminded of and be aware of. But what I want to say, as I'm talking, you can turn to Psalm 105, 37. But healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. We need to keep that in mind. We need to understand that. Because the promise of a long, healthy life isn't for just a few special people. Long life belongs to every obedient child of God. So if you're a believer, it belongs to you. So let's look at this scripture. Psalm 105, verse 37, in the King James, okay, this is talking about the Israelites as God is delivering them out of Egypt, all right? And it says, verse 37, Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. Wow. All right, there, historically, they believe it's between 2 to 3 million people. 2 to 3 million Israelites were being delivered from Egypt. Now, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday and Passover, and they had their Passover meal, all right? And the next day, they started out. But there was not one feeble one among them. Now, if you look at the word feeble, it means lacking physical strength, especially, listen to this, especially as a result of age or illness. It means faint, frail, infirm, delicate, sickly, ailing, unwell, poorly, incapacitated, decrepit, lacking vigor, force, or effectiveness. Now, under the old covenant, God delivered between 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt, and there was not one feeble one among them. Folks, we are in the new covenant. We have new and better promises. So we need to take a serious look at this. All right, so let's turn to Genesis chapter 6 and look at verse 3. Genesis 6, verse 3. And I'm going to go ahead and read it for just the sake of time because I probably will go over time tonight with all the information I want to cover. And it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. 120 years, amen. And in the New Living, it says, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. So the last time I shared on this message regarding aging, we talked about the fact that when someone reaches 60 to 70 years of age or 75, 80, they start having symptoms of aging. Maybe it's memory loss, maybe it's arthritis, maybe it is a lack of energy. And what happens is they accept this as normal. And you'll hear phrases like, well, I'm 75, what do you expect? Right? Anybody else heard that? You know, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 75, what do you expect? So we are not of the same culture as the world, and we know our rights regarding healing. So just because someone is getting older does not disqualify them from healing. Okay? It doesn't disqualify them from healing. In fact, it is wrong thinking to believe that we have to die from sickness and disease. You've heard this before. It's not something new. So like our ancestors, we finish our God-given assignments and let God gather us to himself. Say farewell to the family, sit in your favorite rocking chair, and go on home. All right? Always remember, again, healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Doesn't matter whether you're 6 minutes old, 6 years old, 26 years old, 60, 106, you are entitled to healing, okay? In fact, it's crucial that we apply the same principles at age 85 for healing that we did at 25. It doesn't change. We access our healing by faith and believing the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. It was a done deal. When he said it is finished, it is finished. Amen. Now, we also spoke the last time about the 3 score and 10 as what many believe is to be the number of years that one should live. In fact, I thought that. I thought, 3 score and 10, a score is 20 years, 3 score is 60 plus 10. I thought 60, 70 years, and anything over that would be a bonus. I didn't know otherwise, okay? And then you learn, you hang around, and you learn more. So the 3 score and 10 comes from Psalm 90, verses 9 to 10, and we read that last time in the Amplified. Now, this reference there was not intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse during those particular 40 years. Okay, this was God speaking to the Israelites who rebelled and wouldn't go into the promised land. It didn't include Joshua or Caleb, but there was the 10 other spies that went, and they didn't agree that they could go in and take the land. So this is who God is referring to, because they were not going to go in the promised land. They were going to die out. And so he's giving them 3 score and 10. So, in preparing this message, I read Gloria Copeland's book, Live Long, Finish Strong. In fact, I'm still into it. And she shared a story about her mother-in-law. And you may have heard this. Some of you probably know it. And Kenneth Copeland's mother was excited to live to 70 years because that's what she believed was available to her. All right? And after she reached 70, she was saying to them, I made it to 70, and they were kind of trying to figure out where she was at with that. But her mental concept was, I made it to where I'm supposed to be, and she could have been believing to live to 90. This woman was a prayer warrior. She prayed Brother Copeland and Gloria into the kingdom, and she would start after football teams and other people because she prayed people into salvation. All right, and so she didn't need to leave here at 70, but she ended up dying at 77. But I want you to listen up, because what I'm going to share with you is vital for us to learn from. She was in the hospital, and Kenneth Copeland was praying for her. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, she doesn't need healing. And Ken said, well, you could have fooled me. And the doctors have been telling us that she won't live more than a week. And then Brother Copeland realized that he had seen her healed from pneumonia and some other things. And so he said, well, Lord, if she is not sick, then what is wrong with her? And why is she dying? And God said, her body parts are worn out. Her body parts are worn out. My word, this is the Lord continuing, my word says in Psalm 103 that one of the benefits of being a believer is the renewing of your youth like the eagles. What she needs is her youth to be renewed. She should have been believing for that every day of her life. Did you get that? She should have been believing for that every day of her life. Okay? So we know that we have promises, and we know that certain things happen as people age, but her body parts were wearing out. So if Psalm 103 is not in some of the scriptures that you quote on a regular basis, I encourage you to read that, and especially the verse 5. But let me read it from the Passion, because I thought it was awesome in the Passion. The Passion says, I'm starting verse 1, Psalm 103. With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the holy God, Yahweh. You are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness that you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. And listen to this. You healed me inside and out from every disease. Old Testament, folks. This is Old Testament, okay? You healed me inside and out from every disease. You've rescued me from hell and saved my life. You've crowned me with love and mercy, and you satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. You need to be supercharged? That's what God will do for you. He will renew your youth like the eagles. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. Now, listen to verse 5 from the Voice translation. It says, when your soul is famished and withering, he fills you with good and beautiful things. Satisfying you as long as you live, he makes you strong like an eagle, restoring your youth. So we are not supposed to leave here feeble. We're not supposed to leave here all messed up with sickness and disease. Amen? So do you want your youth renewed? Okay. Do you need strength? Then these are scriptures you want to be quoting. Let's turn to chapter 40. Isaiah 40, and we're going to start at verse 29. Isaiah 40, verse 29. I'm going to read it from New Living and also the King James. I'll start off with the King James. Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Okay? And in the New Living it says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. In the Voice it says, God strengthens the weary and gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. You can have some young people that are all messed up and worn down by care. All right? He gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. So we're not to be worn down, period. We're to be renewed like the eagle. Then it says in verse 30, young people will get tired, strapping young men will stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired, and never faint. These are promises to us under the Old Testament. So the last time we went through several scriptures about living a long, good life, and some of the scriptures that we covered was Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. I read it from the Message, the New Living, and the King James. We also looked at Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 2 from the Amplified, and of course, Psalm 91, verse 16 from the King James and the Passion. And we looked at others, but these are some if you want to go back and go over them. The last time I also spoke a little bit about life worth living. And I'm going to repeat it tonight because I think it's critical. Unfortunately, there are many people today, and I think it's predominantly more in the well, I guess some of our young people are feeling that way, but predominantly some of your elderly individuals don't feel that they have anything worth living for, okay? And we see people that are encountering situations and it happens to them, okay? They give up and they go home, and that's okay. I'm not here to judge, all right? But I don't know what I would do if I was in some of the situations that people encounter, but what I do know is that Jesus Christ is the only one who makes my life worth living. Okay? He's the only one that makes my life worth living. And every one of us needs that intimate relationship with Jesus. And because of that intimate relationship, we can get through anything that comes our way. What I do know is that without him, I wouldn't be able to get through. Because abiding in Christ and living for God brings us victory and makes our everyday lives worth living. And I had shared a story, so we, again, it would be online, but I'm not going to go down that road. But there's a lot of people who have lost mates, and many times you hear a spouse dies, and then and they've been married maybe 55 years or something. They're you know, the two have become one. And within 6 months, a year, year and a half, the spouse goes home. Okay? So, all right, yeah, I can understand. They don't want to live without that person. But the one that's going to make your life worth living after that person leaves is Jesus Christ. Okay? Because the relationship was supposed to be husband and wife, but up here at the top of this pyramid, okay, is Jesus Christ. So if they haven't put him number one, then after one of these parts of the, you know, the block part of the pyramid here comes out, all right, there's going to be problems. But you have to have Jesus Christ as number one. In John 10:10, Jesus said, and this is from the Passion, he said, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So we talked about living a satisfied life. So if you're not enjoying life, you're not doing it right. Just that simple. If you're not enjoying life, not doing it right. Because healing begins at salvation. Eternal life with God begins at salvation when we accept Jesus. And the promise of a long, blessed life belongs to every child of God. Disease is a result of separation from God. Amen. And we saw in the Old Testament, we saw so many of our ancestors live to 200, 300, 900 years old, okay? And we have their DNA and a better covenant. So we also saw that many started to fulfill the plans of God in their lives at older ages. Caleb was 85 when he went into to possess the land. Moses was in his 80s when he started to prepare to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And at 120, Moses was still healthy. In Deuteronomy 34:7, we're not going to turn there, but if you want, just as a reference, the New Living Translation says, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. Okay? So he had finished the call on his life. His ministry was complete, and God said, time to go. But he didn't go home sick. Amen? So, remember, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, and many others, okay, prove to us that no matter how old we are, we don't have to get sick and feeble to die. We just finish our divine assignment and then go home. Now, we looked at Abraham, and in Genesis 23:1, it tells us that Sarah lived to be 127 years old, okay? And in Genesis 17:17, it says Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham. So she died at 127, and Abraham remarried and fathered five more sons at 137 and lived to 175. We see that in Genesis 25:7. So he was one spunky old dude. Okay? So remember, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So Abraham is one who both believed and obeyed God. That's why we call him the father of our faith, all right? And in Genesis 21:5, it says Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. But remember that both Abraham and Sarah had their youth renewed. Like their youth was renewed like the eagles because the heathen king wanted Sarah for himself, and she had Isaac in her old age. So Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. His golden years were an example of what it's like to trust God and believe his word. We also looked at several scriptures that connected long life to a life of obedience. In Psalm 92, verses 13 to 14, in the Passion it says, "You've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. For in your presence they will still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit, and abiding faithfully. So the Word of God provides the power for us to experience renewed youth. It's available to us. So as we speak the Word, as we believe it and obey it, our bodies will manifest the evidence. But our brains need to hear our words. Our brains need to hear our words. Remember, not one feeble one among them. Healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Don't forget that. Remember that as one ages, their body parts can wear out, which is what the Lord told Brother Copeland, but we have the word that tells us our youth is renewed like the eagles. Okay? So tonight I want to delve a little bit into the mind, because one area that the elderly succumb to is memory loss. And we hear about people with dementia and Alzheimer's and, you know, all kinds of things that are that affect the mind. And medicine has no answers and no cure. They have really nothing to offer in this realm, okay? Because Jesus is the cure, all right? Whatever it is, Jesus is the cure. So I want to look tonight at both the mind of Christ and having a sound mind. We need to also look at some of our redemptive realities in Christ Jesus tonight. But what Christians have done is agreed with the world and accepted this as something that is normal, and they have forgotten, no pun intended, that God is bigger than memory loss or Alzheimer's. He's bigger than cancer, anything else you want to put up there, okay? But we cannot get in agreement with the world and medicine when it comes to dementia, Alzheimer's, memory loss, okay? Because there is absolutely nothing impossible with our God. Just keep remembering that there's nothing impossible with our God. Now, I've said this in some of the previous teachings, there's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. There's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Say that. Say, there's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. So, people are getting older and different diagnoses comes up, and it doesn't matter what age you are. If you have a pancreas that's not functioning properly and that organ seems to be dead, no, there's no deadness in my body. There's no deadness in my organs that the resurrection power of God can fix. Okay? So when it comes to memory loss in the brain, there's no deadness in your brain that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Nothing is impossible for our God. And we've got to get that down in our spirits, okay? Because that's what it bottoms down to. A doctor is your servant and not your Lord. But many have switched that up. What people have done is they've gone around and let the doctor be the one to have the final say, and it should be the Lord, okay? The doctor should be your servant. He's not the Lord. So many have looked at names like cancer and dementia, Alzheimer's, and they have forgotten, as I said, no pun intended, that the name of Jesus is greater. The name of Jesus is greater than any of these names. So we need to put the devil on notice in this area, just like we would for anything else. Don't accept his lies just because the clock is ticking and your age is going up. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So my question to you is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about your age? Because where the mind goes, the man follows. What are you thinking about symptoms when they come and attack you or try to attach themselves to you? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:16. I'm going to read it from the King James. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. As I said, we're going to look at the mind of Christ tonight and a sound mind. But 1 Corinthians 2:16, the King James says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct us?
but we have the mind of Christ. The Passion says, "For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions." The New Living says, "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." Philippians 2:5. The King James says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Would it be fair to say that Jesus didn't have any memory loss while he was here on earth? Did he have any sickness? Okay. So his mind functioned perfectly. In the Passion, Philippians 2:5 says, "And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation." So my question is, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Anybody want to venture? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Okay, nothing's impossible. It means that we look at life from our Savior's point of view, having his values and desires in mind. It means to think God's thoughts and not think as the world thinks. It is a shared perspective of humility, compassion, and dependence on God. And the key word here is dependence, not independence. We don't want to be independent from God. We want to be dependent. So the mind of Christ means we look at life from our Savior's point of view, having his values and desires in mind. It means to think God's thoughts and not think as the world thinks. It's a shared perspective of humility, compassion, and dependence on God. So I like to say it this way. We want to do the will of God in everything that we think, say, or do. Okay? So, as I asked, was Jesus ever sick when he was on the earth? No. Did Jesus take authority over sickness and disease? Okay. Was he successful in destroying the works of the devil? Yes. Is Jesus in us? Yes. Okay. Are we in Christ? Yes. Do we have the same spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead? Yes. Yes. Okay. Where are we sitting positionally and spiritually? In heaven, right? Okay. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus based on Ephesians 2:6. So note that sitting is a position of rest. If I'm standing, I'm doing some of this, but if I'm sitting, I'm at rest. So to be seated in heavenly places with Christ means that we enter an inner rest. And one definition of rest means to be at peace or ease, free from anxiety or distress, freedom from worry and frustration, and listen to this, freedom from excessive reasoning. Freedom from struggle, fear, and inner turmoil. So when I'm at rest, none of that stuff is bothering me. No anxiety, no excessive reasoning, no worry, no frustration. Okay? Because I'm at rest and I'm in Christ, seated in heavenly places. And in John 14:20, Jesus said, "And at that day you shall know that I'm in my Father and you in me and I in you." Now, Galatians 2:20, in the New King James, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." All right, so listen to that, Galatians 2:20 in the Passion. "My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives." My old identity no longer lives. "For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me, and we live in union as one." The Anointed One lives in me and through me. Okay? He's in me, and we live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, and listen to this, and dispenses his life into mine. He dispenses his life into mine. He dispenses his life, a sound mind, organs that are perfectly healed and whole. He dispenses it into my life. Okay? By the power of the Holy Spirit, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Colossians 1:27, it says, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Passion says it this way, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? All right, we've got Jesus in us, the Father's in Jesus, and he's in us, and now the Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Passion says, don't you realize that together you have become God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you? So I have a question for you. If we have Jesus in us, we're in him, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we can go on and on, okay? How is it that we allow symptoms of any sickness to camp out in our bodies? The scripture says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I have the mind of Christ. So folks, we cannot go the way of the world and think that we are being spiritually minded. We cannot go the way of the world and think we're being spiritually minded. Okay? But please don't take this wrong, because I'm not saying don't go to doctors. All right? Doctors have their place. All right? But we have to become so spiritually minded that the flesh, the carnal stuff, falls to the side. So let's turn to Romans 8. Love these scriptures in Romans. Romans 8. And we're going to start reading at verse 5. And I'm going to read it first from the King James, and I'm going to get it into it in the Passion. Yeah, I guess you can tell I like the Passion translation, because it says some things so clearly. Remember, we cannot go the way of the world and think that we are spiritually minded. It will not work. Okay, Romans 8, I'm going to start at verse 5 in the King James. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Okay, think for a second. My body's dying. There's things happening in my body that's steering down the road to death. Okay? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God wants you to have life. He doesn't want your body to leave here sick. He wants you healed. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he does, because we're born again and he's in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, resupply, and make alive, quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now let me read this from the Passion. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, I'm at verse 7 now. In fact, it said, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. When the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you're not of him. Verse 10. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, because sickness is the result of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. His life-giving Spirit imparts life to, maybe it's an organ, maybe it's a bone problem, okay? His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Verse 11, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. I'm going to say it again, verse 11. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. Remember, we said, there's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. There's no deadness in your body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. But do you believe it? That's the question. Do you believe it? And we looked at in the King James, verse 11, talks about mortal and quickened. Mortal there simply means a body that's subject to death. Our bodies are going to die, okay? But they're subject to death. But quicken means to give or restore vigor or activity to. It means to stir up, rouse or stimulate. It means to revive, restore life to become more active, sensitive, etc. To become alive, receive life, to manifest signs of life. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will quicken our mortal, death-doomed bodies to life, no matter what. Don't listen to the doctor's negative reports. God can quicken a marriage or any relationship that seems dead. Maybe there's been a sibling issue in your family, or this cousin doesn't talk to that cousin, or this uncle doesn't talk to that one, or whatever, okay? God can quicken a relationship. We're talking about life here that doesn't have limits. No limits. God's power, God's life is unlimited. Okay? So if you have memory problems, if you have bone, joint problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, the list is endless, okay? No matter what, any sickness, not necessarily related to aging, can you be healed?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, but just because people turn to a certain age, they have to be really careful not to start thinking that they have to accept this. That's what happens. And then the Christian is no different than the world. We have to be different. We have to stand out. The world has to look at it and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I want it. Amen? Because that's got to be the, sometimes, you know, what they say, healing is the children's bread. We have to be the calling card. And our lifestyle and our health or whatever it is needs to be like the flag out there. So, if up to this point that you have had symptoms that you have ignored because your thinking is off and you thought that you needed to accept them, Stop immediately and repent. Now, take authority over them and step into your heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Okay? Do it on your way home. Do it between healing class and service, whatever, okay? But remember, when Jesus sat down, we sat down because it was finished, right? We sat down. How many of us get up? How many of us, we start out sitting down and then, oops, what about this? What about that? And the reasonings start, oh, the doctor said this, and so-and-so, they had that, but they had to do this. Are you sitting down or are you standing up? So the other thing is that we need to put the devil on the run. Remind him who is in you and use your weapons and remember that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and don't play nice with him. He hates you and he wants to take you out. Don't be fooled. You can't be the nice guy. Okay, you have to picture him as defeated. We've talked about this in the past. Colossians 2, 14, 15. He is stripped naked and in shackles. Jesus defeated him. He went to hell. He defeated him. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. He is defeated, okay? And we have to see him as that and not as somebody having power that can do anything to us. No, we have the power over him, okay? He does not have the power. Jesus defeated him. It's a done deal. Amen. Now, when I was growing up, we had a Great Dane. Anybody know Great Dane breed of dogs? Okay. They are big puppies. Okay. And her name was Cajun, and Cajun was 36 high at the shoulder. Okay. She was a mush. She was a mush. She just, you know. And she'd come, and if you were sitting in a chair, she'd back up her fanny, and she would sit on your lap because she could, you know. She was adorable, okay? But her size scared people. So I had an Uncle Frank, and Uncle Frank used to come and pick up my mom on Friday nights, and they'd go to Grange meetings, okay? And I don't know if he did something to her. She hated him. And she would go out, and he would pull up in front of the house, and he'd toot the horn. My mother would, know to come out. And she would get right up to his car window. He's in the front seat sitting in the car, and she would stand, because she could. She's 36 high, right? She's right at the window, and she's barking at him, and she's madder, and she's barking, 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 barking. And my uncle would not get out of the car. If I was him, I wouldn't either. But anyway. But all he had to do was get out of the car, open the door, and say to her, "Get out of here." And she would have put her tail between her legs and run back in the house. Because she was a mush. She was just out there to make a noise. All right? And all we had to do was say, "Cajun, cut it out. Get back in here." And she would. But my uncle didn't know that, and it affected him, and it scared the daylights out of him. And some Christians are like that, okay? Because Satan goes about like a roaring lion, but he is not one. So he goes about like the roaring lion, just to scare you and to do that to you to get you to think he's got some power over you. Let's go to Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19, and I'm going to read it from the New King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Passion. And this is Jesus speaking. Luke 10:19. It says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gives us power over all the power of the enemy. We have that authority. He's given it to us. Listen to it in the Passion. In the Passion it says, "Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority." Wow, meditate on that for a minute. We have all of God's authority. "I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority." Wow. When he said it was finished and we did it all, he wasn't kidding. He meant it. So we need to continue to be spiritually minded. All right? Let's turn to Matthew 11, verse 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. And I'm going to read that in the King James and then in the Amplified. Matthew 11, verse 12. In the King James, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." The violent take it by force. In the Amplified, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion." So, healing doesn't happen all by itself. We have a part to play. Just like salvation, we had to believe in our hearts, confess with our mouth, and it was done through faith, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10, Ephesians 2, 8. So I'm talking in general now, not like when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating in a service or something, but when I'm talking about the violent take it by force, we need to be mindful of our part. Learn to press against the forces of evil that are trying to steal your healing or the blessings that are coming from God. Sometimes we have to take a stand and simply just yell, "No, stop. You are trespassing. Leave now." Spiritual violence is going against the pressure of the devil, and it's when you press against the symptoms. So, example would be, okay, start off simple. You get a headache. You start speaking to it. You say, "No, symptoms, you have to leave my body. I don't accept you." All right? You're pressing against it. James 2:18 kind of says it to help us understand a little bit. James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And in the Passion, it says it this way: "But someone might object and say, 'One person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works as proof that I believe.'" So when we believe, we're going to go after what is promised to us. And we're going to let the devil know that he is defeated and he cannot have what belongs to us. And you may have to go after it with violence. James 2:18 tells us that we can believe, but we have faith by what we do. It's real easy to believe, okay? And we know the importance of speaking. We know how important it is to be speaking the word, to say the right things, especially when you get an evil report the first time around, when you get a doctor's report that's not good. Watch what you say. All right, now two examples of people in the Bible that I wanted to use that I believe are people who took it by force would be, the first one is the woman with the issue of blood. She risked her life by just going out into public, and she was determined to get to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She took it by force, okay? Another example is blind Bartimaeus. He screamed out to Jesus for mercy, and when he was told to be quiet, he screamed louder. "You're not going to stop me from getting to what I need." Okay? So symptoms are to sickness the same as temptations are to sin. Symptoms are to sickness the same as temptations are to sin. So here to explain that. Temptation tries to get you to bite the hook and or draws you into sinning. But only until you submit to the temptation does it become sin. The temptation could be all around you, okay? But until you give in to it, have you sinned? So, the same with healing. Once you submit to symptoms, they become sickness. So continue to take your stand and take your healing by force. Get alone with the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit what you should do, and take time to be in prayer, praise, and worship, and then listen for direction. We need to be conscious about what we are thinking. Basically, we need to learn to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We know that from 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. Or we won't live the life that Jesus died to give us. It boils down to choosing to believe what God says, which is the truth, more than we believe our feelings, what people say, or the circumstances. I'm going to repeat that. It boils down to choosing to believe what God says, basically the Word of God, more than we believe our feelings, what somebody might say, or our circumstances. So, last few minutes here, I want to talk about what it means to have a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James, familiar scripture, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Some other translations use the words self-control, self-discipline, in describing a sound mind. So listen to the breakdown that Rick Renner gives from the Greek about a sound mind. Okay? He says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. He has given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security so that it is no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts." This is what God gave us. A sound mind is a gift, okay? He says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So let me just read again. He has given us a mind that has been delivered. If you've been having problems with drugs, your mind can be delivered. Rescued, or any kind of addiction. Let me go back to clarify that. Any kind of addiction, your mind can be delivered. Rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security so that it is no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. So, the word sound itself means free from defect or damage. Free from defect or damage. So you could say it's not feeble, right? We don't have any, there's none, no feeble among us, all right? Not feeble. The word sound means free from defect or damage. So if the doctor says it's dementia or Alzheimer's, no, God gave me a sound mind. My mind is free from defect or damage. Because Alzheimer's or one of those memory loss conditions can cause damage, and I don't have that. When you're looking at, like, from the a definition of sound mind from the dictionary, it means legally having the capacity to think, reason, and understand for oneself. Adults by nature are considered in general to be in sound mind, but through certain circumstances can be rendered as being not in sound mind due to intensive brain damage or other major capacities. Sound mind is considered a legal requirement before writing or signing most legal documents, including a will. And right now the Holy Spirit's kind of have me go in this medical direction. There's people that are in institutions with, you know, traumatic brain injuries. They've been in car accidents. They've had things happen to them. And they are not mentally clear. They don't have a sound mind. These people are entitled to healing. The same thing applies to them. God gave them a sound mind. They don't have to settle for a brain injury. God can heal them. All right? No matter what the situation is, people are what they call brain dead and on machines, and then they come back to life. All of a sudden, they come out of it. All right, you've heard me talk about the story about one of the Rhema graduates, Kiki, and she was on life support. She had overdosed. Okay? And no brain damage. Three neurologists verified. Sorry, if she stays alive, she'll have the mentality of a one-year-old. Well, God fixed that. All right. So sickness cannot attach itself or come into my mind. And this is something we need to be, if that's an issue, address it. Rick Renner also said, he said, so what do you do when the devil tries to convince you that you are losing your mind? What do you do if you have confusion due to stressful situations and so tempted to fear that you can't think straight? He said, just get alone with the Lord and give him your concerns. As you focus on Jesus and release all those burdens, you will find that your mind is working absolutely fine. You have the right and privilege to tell the devil to shut up and then to declare by faith that your mind is sound, safe, and secure. Your mind is delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, and protected. It is free from defect or damage. He also said, when your mind is guarded by the Word of God, you think differently. And that's true. I was around some people and I wanted to cry because part of me was rejoicing because I had the answer spiritually, but I was with these people and everything they were saying was so negative and it was the total opposite of what we've learned and we've been so blessed to know for all these years. So he says, when your mind is guarded by the Word of God, you think differently. When the Word of God is allowed to work in your mind, it safeguards your emotions. The Word of God safeguards your emotions. Amen? It defends your mind from demonic assault. And it shields you from arrows the enemy may try to shoot in your direction in order to arouse a spirit of fear inside of you. So the enemy uses deception as his greatest tool, and our mind is his playground. Okay? He did it with Adam and Eve, and he's done it with every human since then. Because the mind is the primary area that Satan seeks to attack, and he will try to plant a stronghold of deception and uses it to control and manipulate a person. That is why it is so important for us to know the Word. You have to bind the strong man and cast him out. We know from 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Let Jesus do what he came to do. So living life to the fullest means being fully functional and productive. So if you are not satisfied at 120 years of age, stay longer. Our thinking needs to change. So when someone hits 60 years of age, we can say, you're halfway there. Amen? Okay. So just remember, there was not one feeble one among them. 2 to 3 million people under the old covenant came out of Egypt. God delivered them healthy. And so we, under a new covenant with better promises, can do the same. Healing is available to all of us at any age and for any condition. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word cannot return void. It is forever settled in heaven. I thank you that these words will go forth and lives will be changed and people will hear and glean the truth, the power that you've given us, the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus. We appreciate, we thank you for it. We are not defeated. We are not feeble. We are healed, we are whole, and we have everything available to us because when Jesus said it is finished, it was finished. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.